Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text messages, your voicemails, anything you got for us. You guys got thoughts on our first edition of our player preview. Or any thoughts that you want us to include in player previews coming up, whether it's the starting lineup or some of the rotation players or anything in between, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Our episode today is sponsored by DoorDash. Long day at work, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order of $15 or more using the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, one more time, download the DoorDash app, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order. Matt, welcome back. Happy Friday to you. We're recording a little bit early for this episode, but excited to get into all of your voicemails as well. Just to kick off the show real quick, I wanted to ask you about this because I saw this yesterday morning where it came out that the NBA is going to facilitate a rule now where teams have to give the actual real heights of all of their players. And no more of this, oh, a guy is a guard and he looks maybe not even 5'10", but he's listed as 6'2". So you're going to have to measure these guys without their shoes and report real heights to the NBA. What do you think about this? You think this is interesting? You think this is a non-story? Are you intrigued at all by this?
I don't care about it all that much. To me, it's like, all right, if anything, basketball fans will actually know concretely now what the real measurements are of these guys. And, you know, without shoes. Because, I mean, like, I get, like, without shoes, well, they're not out there playing barefoot. So wouldn't you rather know how tall a dude is in his sneakers than barefoot? I don't know. I guess what we will find out, and this is the one thing I'm curious about, is whether or not we legit have a 7-foot finish phenomenon in Lauri Markkanen. Is Lauri actually 7 feet tall when he's not wearing his sneakers? That's what I want to know.
My guess is probably not.
I know. But it would it's like way less cool to be like, well, we've got a 6'11 guy who could, you know, shoot threes, do a bunch of stuff. 7-footer just sounds so much better.
You're totally right. I'm curious what KD's height's going to actually be. I'm curious what Draymond Green is actually going to be listed at. Those are the two most talked about. And I think Draymond Green right now is listed at 6'8 or 6'9. There's no way he is 6'9. Maybe with sneakers on, he sneaks up to 6'7, 6'8. But I bet you he ends up listed at like 6'6. And then for KD, too, there's no way he is 6'9 or 6'10, whatever he's listed at. He's got to be at least 7 feet. So I want to see who the biggest difference from what they were measured before and what their actual height is measured right now and what the difference. Oh, speaking of Bulls players, Denzel Valentine as well. There is no freaking way he is 6'5". There is no way he's 6'5". Right now he's listed at 6'5".
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, I guess, you know, we'll find out. John and Big Dave and I are heading to Media Day on Monday. So, you know, I'll look Denzel in the eye and see see just how tall I think he is, because I'm like a shade under 6'4". I'm like 6'3 and, you know, 7/8 or whatever. So if I'm looking him eye to eye, I'll be like, so about those measurements, what do we got here?
Yeah, So kind of a cool storyline. Everything's going to be ramped up next week when all the media days are happening and NBA season officially kicks off next week. But let's get right into it. We're going to get to your voicemails. Again, 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. Drop your voicemails, text messages. Matt went through the text messages on Wednesday. Haven't caught up on that episode yet. Should go back and listen to that. We're going to get to all your voicemails right now. So let's get to the first one.
What up, Jordan and Matt? Marcy again. So I'm listening to old podcasts as usual, trying to catch up here. And one day it'll happen, but I doubt it. So anyways, got off listening to one of you guys' podcasts where you guys were talking about how, distraught you guys are with this, with our team here and the direction of the team and, all that fun stuff. I just think that people are too down, including you guys, on the direction of this team. Look at where we were with the whole Derrick Rose, bullshit era there that we had, where he was injured for freaking years. And, then we had Jimmy Butler, who was a diva. I'm so glad we're done with that, Matt. We're headed towards a positive direction. And I know, it's not perhaps towards championship, but that's okay because we are headed in the right direction. I know you guys are irritated with the whole Otto Porter thing and whatnot, but again, that's a good thing to have. Otto Porter is a phenomenal player. He's someone that, Washington thought they could build around. And looking at his skill set, I agree. I mean, I think in terms of development, Otto, in my opinion, is actually ahead of Lauri Markkanen. Lauri's got a lot to assimilate with his game. I think he still is. We'll see this one. What happens this year, of course. But regardless, I think everyone just needs to get more excited. We have something good here.
All right, thanks, Marshy, for the call, man. I don't know if your subscription's not up to date or if you're listening to old episodes, but I do have to say right off the top. Yeah, to say off the top, Matt or I haven't complained about the Otto Porter deal and since it happened. I mean, the initial reaction, I was a little disappointed the Bulls didn't get more for Portis and Parker in a return for the amount of money Otto was getting paid for. But right now, I don't care about that anymore. I could give a shit less about that.
Other than the contract, like, I was on board with the Otto trade from day one.
Yeah, you were.
I mean, like, I don't know what our listener here is, or our caller here is remembering, but you're remembering it wrong because Jordan and I have been talking nonstop about how important Otto is going to be to this team's success and how for the flash of whatever it was, like 15 games or so, when he came in the trade is when this Bulls team at any point last season looked watchable and semi-decent. We're all on board with Otto. In fact, if there's anything I'm concerned about, it's Otto having to play 40-plus minutes a night for this team to be good.
Yeah. The other thing, too, was, of course, Otto Porter is ahead of Lauri Markkanen as far as development.
Otto's been in the league for 6 years. Lowry's been in for two. So, apples and oranges?
I think maybe this is the only thing I can think of, and maybe this is what Marsh is really talking about, is the fact that we were saying your expectations for Otto Porter should not be what they were in the 15 games he played with the Bulls. Like, no player can sustain what Otto did in those 15 games with this team once he was traded. Like, a true shooting percentage over 70%, shooting the three-point at a clip over 50, like, that's unheard of for what he was able to do. So we said there might be a little bit of a step back from that, and there might be a little bit of a drop-off there, but that doesn't mean we hate him or don't think he's going to be an important part of this roster or this rotation this year. What I will say about the whole idea of being negative and going into this season, I think Matt and I, for the most part, have been pretty positive about what the outlook is going to be this year. I think it's all going to be just the players need to stay healthy and they need to show us that this team is on track to actually be competitive in the third year. Because otherwise, if we're doing the same thing we did last year, the Bulls are just spinning their wheels. We'll be 3 years in and nowhere closer to where we want to be. And that's back to a championship. Which brings up my last point. Marshy, you say that we may not be on the path to a championship level team right now, but it should be positive and people shouldn't complain. Man, I'll be honest with you. I said it from day one when we started this podcast and when they started the rebuild. Championships or bust. That's what a rebuild should be about. I don't give a shit how long it takes. Championships or bust at this point. I don't want to see the Bulls make an 8th seed and be the first team bounced out of the East. Like, I don't want that to be the ceiling of this rebuild. So I think fans should still be pressing.
Right. It's okay if that's the next step of this rebuild, but it's not okay if that's where this rebuild caps out.
And I don't think that's where fans should be all right, and they should continue to press, because we didn't sit through two years, 160-plus basketball games of terrible basketball just so the Bulls could hit a ceiling of the first round of the East playoffs for the next couple of years. So I don't think it's a bad thing that Bulls fans are continue to press, a little bit worried about maybe where the direction long-term this rebuild's going, but I think we just really have to see what we have with these players. So I agree about the positivity, but that's just the Bulls fan base in
and
general.
And 20-plus years, I'm sorry, but that is more than enough time for these people who run this organization to rest on their laurels of the dynasty. That's why, as you said, Jordan, championship or bust. And I agree with Marsh. Like, I'm glad that Derrick Rose saga is behind us. I'm glad that the Jimmy Diva is behind us. And you and I think are both optimistically, you know, looking forward to the season and are excited about some of the young talent this team has. But I think you and I are both also hesitant to say that we believe that this roster is currently constructed has championship potential. And that's what the goal has to be. 20-plus years without a title for this franchise in the third largest city, the third largest market, more money than they know what to do with and are oftentimes stringy about spending, all of the ways that you can say this franchise has not gotten it done. No more being satisfied with just making the playoffs. Because fans who say, oh, I'll just be happy if this is like a team heading in the right direction that makes the playoffs. Well, okay, like I said, if that's the next step of several positive steps, okay. But you can't cap out and say, all right, I'm like, we're at least a watchable team. We're a competitive team. We're not going to win a title, but you know, maybe we'll like make it to the second round of the playoffs a couple times. I'm like, guess what? Those of you in the fan base who are okay with that, make it okay for the front office and ownership to have that low set bar. And that's not okay.
That's a great point. Having that expectation of not championship or bust after 20 years, like you said, we already lost then. If you have that mentality, we've already lost then. The front office wins. The rebuild that they want to do wins. Without any pressure, these guys just continue to do what they want. Like, last year was really the first year we saw a lot of pressure be put down on the front office and them actually express that they're seeing that. I mean, the cracking by John Paxson after he went on his radio tour after the trade deadline and got absolutely grilled. Like, we saw those cracks start to happen, and I think that was a good thing for Bulls fans to just finally tell people once and for all and continue to be loud about it that we're sick of the losing. We're sick of the same mistakes being made over and over and over again. While we do agree, and we have since day one about the rebuild and saying it was a good thing for them to do, and it's a positive direction to go in and still definitely feel that way, but they got to get this right. And the ceiling has to be championship window or bust. If they don't reach any type of potential like that, this whole rebuild was for nothing. So I don't think you can necessarily put it like Marshy said, where it's like, oh, well, championship, it doesn't really matter if we're not at that point, or if that's not really the ceiling of this team right now. No, it should be. Even if we're not there at this point, the long-term goal should be championships. So thanks for the call, though. Appreciate it. Let's get to our next voicemail.
Hey, what's up, guys? So something crossed my mind today. I was watching some Wendell Carter Jr. highlights because I watched that Run With Us episode 2 for season 2, which, by the way, if you guys don't watch those, you need to because they're awesome. But I was watching that, and they were talking about how Wendell's getting some work in, and so I watched some highlights, and something crossed my mind. What do we do when Wendell has outstanding chemistry with Chris Dunn and not so great chemistry with Zach LaVine? Now, I know, obviously, Zach LaVine's going to be the priority over Chris Dunn, but I'm just curious, does that affect anything? Or even, you know, Chris Dunn, and let's say Daniel Gafford finds himself as a meaningful role player, and they have good chemistry, Daniel Gafford and Chris Dunn, I mean, just as a lob catcher and, you know, Chris Dunn being pretty good at maneuvering around pick and rolls, does that affect anything or does that matter to us at all? Just curious to hear you guys' thoughts. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call from the 217. This is a really good question because it's something that we haven't really considered. You know, we talk about Chris Dunn in like kind of an overarching way for this season and what things are going to be like for him and whether or not he's going to stay with this Bulls team. But I really haven't even considered the fact of what happens if he finds chemistry with one or two players on this team and finds a really suitable role for this Bulls team, plays really well with one or two of these guys. Our caller here brings up Wendell Carter Jr. Like, what happens if he finds chemistry with, say, coming off the bench and playing with Daniel Gafford or Luke Kornet or maybe even Thaddeus Young in some of these roles? Do you think that changes the perspective of the Bulls front office and whether or not they want to continue to try and actively move him? Or do you think things can be mended enough to where if things are going well for Chris Dunn, that he can stay here and find a role? Or do you think that bridge is already kind of burned?
I mean, I agree with you that it's a very interesting question and might be of somewhat of a concern. Because we did actually see that Dunn and Wendell had some nice moments together when Dunn was on the floor last year. Albeit they were brief moments because of Dunn's injuries and Wendell's injuries. But to me, it is, I think it's, you know, people say, oh, you know, never say it's, you know, too late. It's never too late. I think with Chris Dunn and this team, it's too late. I think that they are going to try to give him another chance to prove himself as an NBA player so that they can deal him to a team that can see his value and his use, which is something. You know, Dunn, it's not like Dunn is a scrub, and I think he could be a very good backup guard in this league. But I think the, you know, end of day decision is, are the Bulls signing Chris Dunn to a new contract now that his rookie contract is coming to a close? The answer is no. Unless something wildly unpredictable happens, the answer is no. So then as far as the concern about Wendell or maybe some of these other young pieces who develop some chemistry with Dunn, I mean, you can develop chemistry with players that are on the roster. And, I mean, for Wendell, I think he's going to be sharing the floor with LaVine more often than he's sharing the floor with Dunn. And, you know, to our caller's other question about Gafford, like, I don't think that's an issue at all because I think Gafford's going to spend the entirety of this season in the G League. So, I mean, it's a valid concern, but I think the Bulls and Chris Dunn both feel like a change is what they want. And he wants, a fresh start. They would like to move on and focus on their development of Coby White. I think it's not going to alter the reality, which is everyone's going to be shocked if Dunn is still on this roster after the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit too late for them to mend anything to the point where he would find a role, even if they found chemistry in just one season, for him to carve out a role here long term. I think about Bobby Portis even last year, too. Like, he was really good in the last two seasons he was here when he was actually able to stay healthy and be on the floor. But even being a productive big shooting and scoring off the bench, like, look what the Bulls still did. They still traded him because they knew that they weren't going to re-sign him in the offseason. He didn't pick up the contract in October when they had those discussions. Bulls and Chris Dunn haven't even had discussions about an extension. So I think that pretty much answers the question, right? Like, no matter what happens, and like you said, unless something absolutely out of this earth changes that course, I think Chris Dunn and the Bulls will be done by the end of the season. That relationship will be over, no matter if he has chemistry with guys on the floor or not. That's just the way the Bulls have operated, too, with guys going to a contract year. And especially the way the relationship between Dunn and the Bulls has been over the last, 18 months or so hasn't been all that great. So, yeah, I don't think that there anything will change as far as the Chris Dunn storyline goes or how well he plays or doesn't play. Thanks for the call, 217. Let's jump on our next voicemail.
Hey, guys, what's up? This is Robert from Glenwood, first-time caller, big fan of the show. I'm calling because I just want to say I was pretty happy with the Coby White pick this year. You know, usually It's kind of like a cycle. Chicago fans, we hate the pick at first, give it some time, and then we start to like the guys. Kind of what happened this year, I can't lie. I've seen a lot of people flip-flop on their perceptions of Coby, but I want to ask, do you guys feel as if the summer league roster around him kind of gave him a bad look, because he had some great passes out there that was just met with missed shots. No one could hit anything. I mean, him included from three, but hey, summer league kind of thing, you know? Look at Lonzo Ball. But that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate you dropping your first voicemail. I think a lot of Bulls fans were pleasantly surprised and at least content, I would say, with the pick of Kobe White. I know there were some other guys talked about Jarrett Culver too and DeAndre Hunter, and everybody kind of had their own angle as far as who they wanted the Bulls to take at seven. But I'm with you. I think for the most part, it seems like Bulls fans are pretty happy and with the pick. I just want Bulls fans to be patient again. I know I'm going to say this basically every time we talk about Kobe White, but just please be patient with him. As far as the summer league point go, that's a great point. You know, that's why we don't take a lot of stock into what happens in summer league. I mean, look at guys like Tyus Jones won summer league MVP, whatever it is now, 4 years ago, and he hasn't done a whole lot in the league. A lot of those guys that perform really well in summer league, it doesn't necessarily translate to the NBA, into actual real games. But I agree, like, his teammates out there aren't going to be quality teammates like he has right now going into this regular season. So I think that definitely does affect things. So I wouldn't buy too much stock into how good or bad Kobe White played during summer league.
Yeah, I would agree. The summer league is just garbage in general. So, of course, we always overreact to whatever it is that we see in summer league when we're watching our team's newest draft picks. And it's just like, you might as well take the analysis and just throw it away. I mean, like, summer league is a far cry from NBA basketball. So you can look at some of the, you know, some of the things that your draft picks do and do well and some of the things that they struggle with. But, you know, to our caller, Robert's point, it's take it with a grain of salt. And Kobe White certainly looked like one of the more talented youngsters in summer league this year, and a lot of scrub guys trying to fight their way into, you know, a pro career around them who are not that good. But as far as being happy with the Kobe White pick, with this draft class, obviously you're not happy that the Bulls fell to seventh, right? Once again, picking seventh was not the goal. It wasn't the goal in year one of the rebuild. It wasn't the goal in year two of the rebuild. This team has failed to tank properly and picked seventh again. And because of that, you lose out on players like, obviously, Zion, but also Ja Morant and Darius Garland, who both project to be better than Kobe White. We'll see. You lose out on some really interesting players like DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver. With what was on the board, and I know people say, don't draft for need, take best available, and the Bulls usually do that. I think Kobe White was probably close to being the best prospect available and also definitely filled a position of need if the Bulls did, in fact, feel at that point that they were ready to move on from Chris Dunn. So, like, the one that I think I heard a lot of people complain about or at least wonder about, you know, and to a lesser extent, Jackson Hayes, because people are really hyped about him. But, you know, this team did not need another front court guy with everything they have right now. The one that maybe we'll end up wondering about is Cam Reddish, right? The big star potential, but also maybe some bust potential. So if I could take Cam Reddish or Kobe White, right now I'm pretty happy that we took Kobe White. We'll see how.
With you. I'm happy with Kobe White too, and I'm curious too, like Jackson Hayes, who the Bulls scouted heavily, and there's a reason why they did. We saw a little bit of a glimpse of that in summer league of why they continued to scout him, even though they drafted back-to-back bigs the first 2 years of this rebuild. But he's going to have some serious skill. Same thing with Cam Reddish. I think you're right too. I'm hoping that we don't have to have that conversation where Cam Reddish is balling out for the Hawks, and we don't have to have that conversation. But you're right. I think we're going to be curious about a handful of these guys that the Bulls passed on to take Kobe. So cautiously optimistic with Kobe White and definitely patient as well. So thanks for the call. That was a good call and a good question. Let's get up to our next voicemail.
Hi, guys. This is Patrick from Hammond, Indiana. With everything going on regarding Dennis Rodman and his documentary. I wanted to share a couple of things. One, do you guys remember the Dennis Rodman McDonald's cups, where there was a picture of Dennis Rodman on the McDonald's cup, and when you had an ice cold beverage inside that cup, Dennis Rodman's hair on the cup would change colors. As a kid, I thought that was so awesome. And secondly, I wanted to share with you guys and everyone listening that in the Bulls' fourth championship, the first one after Jordan returned, in the series-clinching game, Dennis Rodman had 11 offensive rebounds in that one game, in that game, world championship-clinching game. Which was a finals record then. I'm not sure if that stands now, but that's amazing. In his heyday, he was like Joakim Noah times 10, in my opinion. No disrespect to Joe. I love Joe. But anyways, guys, just wanted to share that. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the call, Patrick. Good to hear from you again. I do remember these cups, these Dennis Rodman McDonald's changing cups. My dad has a whole huge box that has like old sports memorabilia in it from back from the 90s. He has a ton of Bulls stuff. But one of the things when we were picking through it, actually a couple of years ago, cleaning out the storage, was a handful of these cups. And he was telling me about them. I was too young to remember it, but he had a whole stack of them. And he was like, yeah, when you put ice in it, put cold drink in it, it would change the color of Rodman's hair. I miss when places used to do things like this, the little promotions to get people to come in. Now I think the only promotion that's run around here is the McDonald's Monopoly. And even that, you never win.
And I mean, come on, a Dennis Rodman cup that changes colors, way better than like a Happy Meal toy that breaks after the first time you play with it, right? I also remember these. Right. Sadly, I don't think I saved any. And while we were listening to this voicemail, you know what I did? I hopped online, because I'm sitting here on my laptop, and looked up Dennis Rodman McDonald's cups, and the first thing that comes up is a couple different collections that are available for purchase on eBay. So guess what I'm doing later today? these were amazing. And there was the...
How much are they going for?
Honestly, these are... I think one of them's like a set of four that's selling for like $28 or something. Like these are totally
good for cups that were what, like $1.50?
Yeah. So there's one set here that's $29.99 on eBay. There's another one that's $19.99, a set of used. So there's a brand new unused set, but they're all four of the same one, which is Dennis like in a defensive stance with like this like two-tone blue like sun logo behind him. Kind of looks like his sun tattoo that he has.
That's the one my dad
has. Right.
That's exactly the one my dad has.
And then there's a different set of four used ones on eBay that are all four different ones that they had. And then there's also the one where, you know, instead of having the bull on the back of his head, like he had that logo done when he first came in for his first media day after the trade, he has the McDonald's M on the back of his head. It's pretty sweet.
Side question for you real quick. What's the worst giveaway you can remember the Bulls giving away, like as a promotional item?
I mean, I'm pretty unhappy with this new Portillo's instead of McDonald's Big Mac giveaway that they have at the United Center. I think it's freaking stupid. Like if the opposing team misses two free throws in the fourth quarter, if free throws in a row in the fourth quarter, everybody gets a free Portillo's hot dog.
We want our Big Macs. Like, we want to remember our history with Joakim trying to get us Big Macs.
Yes. And then they do the dance of the Big Mac, you know, cardboard cutouts along the side when you hit the 100 and you're on your way to a victory. I mean, I'm trying to think about other like bad giveaways. I don't know. I'm wearing, you know, the hat that I'm wearing right now is, and it's the same hat that I like wear on, that I wore on pretty much, I think like 80 of 82 Outsiders episodes last season. The black one that says Chicago in cursive with the little mini Bulls logo underneath it. And then it has like the crazy, like graffiti art on the underside of the brim was a giveaway from two seasons ago when it was, like three different Chicago street artists that designed their own underside of the brim. And they did those as a giveaway at the United Center. And like, it's awesome. I mean, I go through a lot of hats. I wear baseball caps almost every day. And I've had this one for the last couple of years, and I absolutely love it. So some of the giveaway ideas that they've done at the United Center recently are actually really awesome, including this hat one that is not only cool hats that you give to Bulls fans, but also allows them to promote some local artists. So that's, you know, that's a good thing.
I'm always a big fan of the bobbleheads, too. But the one that reminds me of probably the worst, and maybe it was just timing, is obviously the Rondo bobblehead giveaway when he was benched. That's pretty hilarious that they were doing a bobblehead giveaway for a dude who was here for one season. And then he was benched on his bobblehead night. So that one probably goes down.
And you always have to like wonder about whether or not the bobbleheads actually look like the players, right?
Right.
Sometimes that whoever makes those bobbleheads, they're like, dude, you didn't even get it close.
There's one out there, a Joakim Noah. You can still buy them, too, if you just Google Joakim Noah terrible bobblehead model, it'll pop up. It looks absolutely zero like him. Like, that is like you can miss any more than this company did. But the other one I was thinking of too was thinking about in hindsight the Ben Wallace the head thing that they would use, like with the hair and the headband. That giveaway probably not the greatest one to have, especially considering the Bulls didn't allow him to wear his sweatband either. So having a promotion giving away that as like the exclusive style, I thought was kind of bizarre. Those are the two biggest ones that I can think of off the top of my head. But if any Bulls fans out there that can think of like really terrible giveaways or some of the best giveaways that the Bulls have ever done, shoot those to us.
Yeah, would love to see those. Also, I just was curious, so I went on and found there's a Hoops Hype article from last year. The worst bobblehead fiascos in the NBA. So go check that out if you're bored at work, because it's pretty fantastic. Oh my gosh, there's a James Harden one where he's like got the, you know, the James Harden mohawk or whatever, and he's got this weird, gross, like trollish looking beard, and then he's got like patchy fuzz on the parts of his head where he doesn't have the mohawk. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, we should definitely go through all of these. Go check out the Hoops Hype article with the worst NBA bobbleheads, because this is just fantastic. Oh, my God. There's one where Lou Williams looks like a psychopathic killer. Oh, these are all just fantastic. I forgot that they had the whole Rondo bobblehead while he was benched fiasco last year. That was what an embarrassment.
The caveat of that, too, is he was benched for activities and behavior detrimental to the team. And why that was is he threw a towel at Jim Boylan.
Right. Yep.
Hilarious. The last thing I wanted to say before we get out of here to our previous caller, I'm just thinking about this now, had mentioned about the Run With Us videos that the Bulls do on YouTube. Those are excellent. They are phenomenal. So go check those out. Go continue to watch those. I've been a fan of those for a few years. It's cool to get kind of an insight. And the Bulls digital team, too, the ones that do the social media and do all of this digital marketing and these cool videos, they are some of the best in the league. We are very, very, very lucky to have a digital team like we have with this Bulls team. Because if you look around the league, too, at a lot of other NBA teams, while all the NBA across the board is pretty good, we're very lucky to have them. They do some really creative stuff year in and year out. So they just started, too. The Bulls just started another Twitter where it's Bulls History.
Bulls Archive.
And it's an archive of all old pictures. And that is a fantastic feed to follow.
It is. They created a identical Instagram account for that, too. So everything that they share on Twitter is also on Instagram. It's called Bulls Archive. And it's just amazing pictures from back in the glory days. And it's like, it enrages me because it is a branch of the Chicago Bulls official social media team that is nothing but positivity. And I mean, like, you know, when the official Bulls Twitter account just tries to mask all of the negative shit that this team has put us through recently and only wants to say positive stuff, good on the fan base for completely trolling the hell out of them when they try and have a positives only tweet and then they just get trolled in the comments nonstop. That I enjoy. But as someone who also, you know, we were talking about before with an earlier caller, is it okay to just make the playoffs? No, we want championships or bust. No more resting on the laurels of the glory days. I feel like this new Bulls archive account is sneakily tricking all of us into being like, oh God, nostalgia, isn't it great? Well, you know what? Fuck nostalgia sometimes. I want greatness now. And I feel like that's another way that they are continuing to rest on their laurels. It's like, hey, remember how great things used to be? Remember MJ and Scotty? Remember all these good times? Remember? hey, why don't you bring the family down to the United Center tonight? Spend some money. Like, it's clearly them trying to, you know, lure this fan base in because they know how nostalgic those of us who are old enough to remember the glory days feel about it. And it's a terrible, dirty thing they do, and I hate that I love it.
Play the hits, man, right? Play the hits. It's like the Rolling Stones going out there and not playing some of their most famous songs at a concert. Like, the Bulls are going to continue to churn out anything that they know is automatically going to hit. And anything with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, anything from the 90s is always going to be a hit, no matter how bad this Bulls team is. Clearly, by the last 2 years, and anytime we talk about Jordan, Rodman, or the 90s, or tweet anything about that, that usually gets the most popularity. So I'm not surprised, but I feel bad too. Like, it's the digital team is just trying to do their job. Same thing with the ticket office. I'm sure they've gotten dozens and dozens of scolding phone calls trying to renew those season tickets last year and over the course of this summer. But I will say, like, from somebody who loves the creativity on the social media side, the digital artwork and all the videos that they put out, I am a huge fan of it. And I know for a handful of the people that work on the digital team too listen to our show as well. So appreciate you guys listening. I just wanted to let them know that we appreciate their work all throughout the season.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not, and you know, I'm not knocking them. I'm knocking their bosses who made them do that.
That's gonna about do it here, though, on Locked On Bulls. Thanks so much for listening. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop us your voicemails, your text messages. That's the biggest question this weekend. Think about it. Been to any Bulls games where you've been given a giveaway and you're like, what the hell is this? If you can think of one, maybe the worst giveaway the Bulls have ever given out and the best giveaway that they've ever given out, drop us that in a voicemail or a text message, or even drop it in a tweet at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. We've got Media Day here on Monday. We are finally here. So very excited. We'll have audio from players. We'll have audio from the front office, from hopefully Michael Reinsdorf as well. And I'm sure they're going to be doing radio tours as well sometime next week. So we'll have plenty of content for you guys coming out next week and the coming weeks as well. So basketball is, after this weekend, officially back. Again, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls so you can get all of that audio and all of our episodes as soon as they drop. Again, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast, we are sure to be there. So make sure you subscribe. Leave us a rating if you want to. If you're loving what we're doing here, we'd appreciate that as well. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I think we've positioned ourselves well to head down this road. I thought it was a real positive.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.